So as I said, each year at the church at NBC, we have a text which we the leaders feel is something that God is sort of giving us and wanting us to press into during a particular year. Not only for us as individuals, but of course for us as the whole church as well. And what is God wanting to say to us through this particular text? And so our text for this year, as you'll see on your card, is 2 Peter 3:18, and which simply says, "Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Now, if you've got your Bibles, you've got an app, if you just want to turn to 2 Peter, I just want to give a little bit of an introduction to the letter as a whole, because we'll be exploring a little bit more of it. But I also want to just put this verse in context today, because otherwise it's easy just to take a verse out of the Bible, you take it out of context, and you change the meaning of it. It's got to be seen in the light of everything else that's there. So I just want to give a brief introduction to 2 Peter and then explore this text a bit, and we'll come back to it next week again in a little bit of a different way. But this is our text. I offer this to you as something I believe God wants for you, for me, and for us together as well, as we seek to fulfill God's plans and purposes, not only in our own lives on our front lines, but also for us as a church. God has brought you here for a reason. He's brought us together at this time for a purpose. We're a random group of people, aren't we? Yeah? Would you agree? We're just a random group of people here. I mean, I tell you this a lot. When I look down here, I cannot believe that we're all in the same room together. You know, I can't believe that I have the privilege of being in the same room with some of you. I don't deserve to even be in the same opportunity of knowing Jesus. But I'm here with you, and you're here with me as well. And that's a privilege, isn't it? Thank you. Thank you, Chris. Thank you. Thank you. One person thinks it's a privilege to be in the same room as me. Thanks, Chris. But you know what I mean? It's just weird, isn't it, that we should be together. And so God has purpose for us and a plan for us and a reason for us to be together. And so this is part of, I think, what God wants next for us here at NBC, to grow. Now, this isn't saying you haven't been growing, okay? This isn't to say that nothing has changed in you in the last year or 10 years or 90 years, however long you've been following Jesus. But this is just to say, look, maybe this is a year when we push in a little bit more to this sense of growing in the way that God wants us to, and to grow particularly in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because that's foundational, isn't it? That's foundational for us. And out of that comes something much more. Because grow, it's simple really, isn't it? It's simple. Grow is such a simple thing to do, because growth is what is embedded in life. In the life of all creation, growth is there. You've all been growing since the day you were born. The first command of God the Creator was to be fruitful and increase in number. Growth is inherent in all God built into creation. And last week I explored this idea a little bit more of growth at the 9:30 service. And if you want to catch up with that, that is on our YouTube site, and you can catch up with what I had to say about growth, particularly in the light of Jesus, who the Bible says grew from being a child, obviously, into the man. But if you want to catch up with that, do that. But of course, physically, we're all growing. Spiritually, that's something, of course, that is an addition to it, something that we have a part to play in. You know, I couldn't help how tall I grew. I couldn't do anything about that. I can help how wide I grow, of course, but I couldn't help how tall I grow. I couldn't help the color of my eyes. That was just given to me. But spiritually, I have a choice. I have a choice whether I want to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so how we're going to do that, I think, is really important for us to wrestle with during this particular year. And it's all through the Bible text. Jesus, of course, talked often about growth. We'll explore some of his parables of growth later on in the year. He talked about a mustard seed, didn't he? He talked about yeast impacting a whole batch of dough. He talked about this need for growth, and we'll look at that. Paul, he talked about growth. He encouraged us to grow more in the likeness of Jesus. Peter, in this letter, easily missed. Are some of you still trying to find it in your Bible? I mean, it's there somewhere. You just got to find it. But 2 Peter, in this letter easily missed, is urging his listeners and his readers and us who stand a couple of thousand years after it to grow. And you remember Peter? You remember Peter, the follower of Jesus, called by Jesus to leave his fishing nets to a life of catching people? compelled by Jesus to stand on the rock of faith on which Jesus would build the church, commissioned by Jesus to be the shepherd of God's people and to feed God's people with the love that Jesus loved him with as well. That's the Peter who wrote this letter. But it's the same Peter, of course, who walked on water and then began to sink when he took his eyes off Jesus. It's the same Peter who wanted to protect Jesus, but was then invited by Jesus to get behind me, Satan. It's the same Peter who would rather have stayed on the mountaintop with Jesus that amazing day than go down the mountain and face the crowd. It's the same Jesus, the same Peter. And so through his story in the Gospels, we see that he grew. He sort of fell back a bit and then he grew again. It was his story. And so when he writes this text, grow, he's talking to himself as well. He's experienced it. He's lived it. And now he's urging others to grow in that same way. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Now, if you want a bit of a summary of this letter, let me just quickly work through this. But I urge you, have a read of this letter sometime this week. Dig into it, study it. So chapter 1 of 2 Peter is saying that in the light of what the Bible has to say, in the light of Scripture, the prophetic voice of God's Word, he wants to remind us what the truth is and why it matters of how we live it every day. In 2 Peter chapter 1, let's go to the next slide. I've just picked out a few verses. He says this, 2 Peter chapter 1, 12 to 16. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside. He's preparing for his death here, really. He's saying, you know, I know I'm coming towards the end, but I want to tell you this. As our Lord and Jesus Christ has made clear to me, and I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He's gone back to the source. He's telling us that's where the truth lies. You know, Peter was writing in a world where there was a lot of heresy going around. The Gnostics were very much part of the story. They felt they had a secret knowledge, and only they could attain it. But Peter's saying, no, there's a truth beyond that. And the truth lies in Jesus. And he wants to remind his readers and us of that as well. And so in the light of opposing ideas that he was struggling with during that time, and the light of opposing ideas that we all face every single day today, every day in the media, we are facing opposing ideas. They're bombarding us. And it's important that we can know what to stand on, where the truth lies in this. In our conversations, on our front lines, in the workplace, in the university, there are lots of ideas being floated around. What we read and what we watch on social media, and then the news this week that Facebook and Instagram are dropping the verification of information by independent fact checkers. It's difficult to know what the truth is and where the truth lies. And so we have to be careful of where that is. And so Peter says in chapter 2 and verses 1 to 3, many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with fabricated stories. This could be written today, couldn't it? I mean, how contemporary is this word to us today? Their condemnation has long been hanging over them and their destruction has not been sleeping. That's good news. And so he's saying, be careful what the truth is. Be careful what you take in. Be careful where it is that you stand in all this. And then chapter 3, in the light of the promise of Jesus that one day he is going to come back, chapter 3 is a compassionate, compelling invitation to be the kind of people who are ready when he does come back. And so chapter 3, just a bit before our text, verses 11 to 14. Since everything will be destroyed in this way when Jesus returns, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness, right living, dwells. So then, dear friends, Since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. He's saying, be ready all the time for the coming of Jesus again. Make every effort. He uses that phrase a few times in this letter. Make every effort. These are the final words of someone who's lived as a follower of Jesus and who longs for others to live in that way as well. And in the light of this, he ends this letter with the text that we have for 2025 in front of us. Grow. In the light of all this, in the light of uncertainty about what truth is, in the light of all the opposing ideas that you might be bombarded with, in the light of the return of Jesus, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So what is that going to mean in 2025 for me, for you, and for the church together as well? So let's just pick this apart and let's just introduce this a little bit today. So firstly, grow in grace. Grow in grace, he says. Now, to grow in grace, of course, you need to have experienced grace in the first place. You need to have received it. If we can just flick to the next slide, Doug, that would be great. Thank you. We need to have received it. What is grace? Well, I learned this in Sunday school many, many, many decades ago. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense. It's the gift of forgiveness, of freedom, of salvation, which is only from Jesus and because he died for us. It's the price he paid that we could never pay to receive forgiveness and freedom, salvation and healing. His life that took the punishment that we deserved for our sin, the sin that separates us from God, it is what we don't deserve, yet we can freely receive. It's what we can never earn, yet we're freely given. That's grace. And you can't grow in it unless you've received it. Unless you know the forgiveness and the freedom of Jesus and what he's offered to you. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 to 9. For it is by, what is it? By grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. The grace of Jesus, his gift to give, and he gives it to people who ask. So my question to you today, have you been saved by grace? Have you been saved by his grace? Do you know that forgiveness and freedom that only he can give you? His gift that he offers to all those who ask, to those who have responded in faith to what Jesus has done for you through his life, his death, and resurrection. Have you told Jesus, like Peter told Jesus, you know I love you? And will you live your life for him? See, if not, then I want to urge you to make today your day. I want you to make today the day that you respond to his grace and you say sorry for the things that you've done wrong or you're still doing wrong, the things that separate you from God and his love for you. I want you to know that when you do that, when you say sorry for the things you've done wrong, then he will welcome you home. He will forgive you in an instant because that is what his grace is. And that then you can start to live a life that pleases him, but only because of his grace. And I'd urge you, if you haven't made a commitment of faith to him, if you don't know what this grace looks like, well, receive it today. Make this the start of 2025 today. This is the beginning of how to grow in grace by receiving it yourself. But having received it, then the onus is on us to grow in it, to enable it to shape our life, to know that we can live a life that pleases him above everything, and we can grow like him because we know him and we know this grace that we've received. And there's always enough, you know. What does John say in his prologue in John chapter 1? Jesus, what was he full of? He was full of grace and full of truth. He has more than enough to give you. And when we look back at the full story in the Bible, when we look back at the Old Testament story of the people of Israel who had experienced the change from a pure relationship with the Creator in the Garden of Eden to have to live under the rule of law because sin had entered the perfect world God had created, God begins to Satan, there's something more that you can have. He speaks through the prophet Ezekiel. This is what he said through the prophet Ezekiel. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I'll remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I'm sorry, that's Ezekiel 36 for anybody taking notes. 36:26. My apologies for that. I'll remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I bought one of the stones from my garden today, one of the rocks. This is one of the rocks I unearthed when I was digging our garden. It's a cracker, isn't it? Don't you think? And it has a story to tell, doesn't it? I don't know the story. I need a geologist to tell me the story of this rock in honor of Mr. Kelling, who could tell us the story of this rock. But it's lifeless, isn't it? It's heavy as well, by the way. Ooh, need a bit more. But it's not going to change. This isn't going to change one bit. It hasn't changed for how many years? We could have a guess, but I wouldn't know. But it's just been a rock. That's it. This is not going to grow at all. Goodness me, I need to do some more exercises. But look at this. Isn't this beautiful? This is a cyclamen, by the way. Isn't that amazing? I've never seen a cyclamen like this. Is there life here? Is this living? Life, this is going to grow. In fact, it has since we had it. It's the most remarkable thing. And Ezekiel says, you've got to change your heart. A heart like this isn't going to grow. Hard-hearted people who aren't open to what God wants to do in your life. Whereas this has potential wrapped up in it. This started as a small shoot, but because of the soil, because of heat and light and water, it's grown. And it will grow if we can look after it well enough over the next few weeks. That rock just stayed in the ground until I dug it up. Nothing happened to it. A seed in the ground, it grows. No matter what you do to the rock, it stays a rock. And if you're going to grow in grace in 2025, you need a heart that is beating with the rhythm of the increasing grace of God, which is at work in your life. He who has begun a good work in you, what does the Bible say? He will bring it to completion if you let him do his work of grace and you grow in the grace that you've received and the grace that you give. Let him soften your heart, will you? If your heart this morning isn't beating with the rhythm of his grace, then open it up to him. Let him give you his grace again. Don't have a heart of stone this year. Have a heart of flesh that will grow and develop and that is open to him. So grow in grace. Secondly, grow in knowledge. It's a really interesting one, this, I think, but I want to try and unpack this a little bit for you. Now, we live in what's called the information age, don't we? Since about the mid-20th century, we've been living in this information age where we've made the shift from the traditional industries that developed during the Industrial Revolution. We now have available literally at our fingertips as much information as any of us could possibly manage. Information that some of you are old enough to have lived at a time when you couldn't believe that so much information would be available to you. You know, you may have had gone to the library and that was the place where you got your information, or you got it from school, from a teacher. But now you can get it everywhere, any time of the day. 24-hour news, alerts pinging up on your phones if you let it. I'm so glad Peter didn't encourage us to grow in information. I'm so glad about that. I'm glad he invited us to grow in knowledge, because I think the two are different. I've been trying to wrestle with this all week, and I'll tell you what I've got. And it'd be great for you to think about this as well. Information, that starts with the word inform, doesn't it? To be informed about something, whether from someone else or from your own interest. We have loads of information. You have loads of information in your head now. But knowledge starts with the word know. To know about something because of first-hand experience of it, and then to put it into practice. See, the biblical understanding of knowledge is practice. It's experience and practice. I've experienced this for myself, therefore it's knowledge. It's not information. Information is what someone else tells me, something I read from a book, something I get from a social media feed. But knowledge is mine. Experience. This is something I know because I've done it. It's putting information into practice, to live out the relationship of the one who we're following, to do what the Father is asking us to do. That, I think, is knowledge. You know, I've been trying to get fit over the last 6 months or so, and obviously I need a bit more weight training, but apart from that, I've become a friend of Joe Wicks. Do you know Joe Wicks? Have you heard of him? He's amazing, isn't he? Now, is anybody else? Nobody's looking. Does anybody else do Joe Wicks? Or am I? Yeah. He is incredible. I recommend him to you. Sorry, Joe, if you're listening, go on, buddy. You're good. And I've been trying so hard to... Well, no, not trying so hard. I'm trying to sort of do that. But I got thinking the other day, wouldn't it be much easier if I just sat on a chair and watched him do it? That would be much easier, wouldn't it? You know, I could learn how to do it. I could learn all the moves. I could see how he did it. I could look and understand a little bit more about how it would affect my body. And it would be so much easier to do it. But that would just be information. That's all it would be. Knowledge is when I actually do what he's asking me to do. What he's beating me up to do, actually. What he's bullying me to do. That's knowledge. When you put it into practice. When you do what it is that he's telling you to do. It's no good sitting in church listening to sermons. It's no good reading the Bible every day of the week. It's no good meeting with a small group of friends to talk about the Bible unless you're going to do something about it. Otherwise, it's just information. Jesus says, John 13, now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. God's blessing comes when we put information into practice, when it becomes knowledge in our lives. After John the Baptist had told the people to get ready for Jesus, he said in Luke 3:8, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. So live a life because of the grace that you've received as a result of your repentance. Don't rely on information about the past story that you have that you can tell about your heritage as a follower of Jesus. Don't live on that. And the people listening to John said to him, what should we do then? He told them all this information. And in their hearts they said, yes, but we want to do something about it. And John said to them, if you have two coats, you should share with the one who has none. That's what you should do about what I've just told you. Turn this information into knowledge. Put it into practice. Now, I counted how many coats I have at home. I have 10 coats at home, right? 10. Now, that's small fry compared to some of you, isn't it? I have spring coats, summer coats, autumn coats, and winter coats. Funnily enough, I have 10 coats. Why have I got 10 coats? When John said, if you've got two of them, you should share with somebody else. Now, some of the translations in the Bible say, if you've got two shirts, you should give one away. I counted my shirts today. I have 30 shirts. Why have I got 30 shirts? I have no idea why I've got 30 shirts. But my wardrobe carries 30 shirts. What should we do then? Well, if you've got two of them, you should give one away. I don't know how many you give away when you got 30 of them, but maybe that's something for me to work out. And I was thinking, I wonder if I could grow in knowledge, if I could turn that information into practical outworking during 2025, do what I'm invited to do as a result of the grace that is growing in my life, then it works itself out in the reality of living the sort of life that we are encouraged to live. You're going to go home and count your coats and shirts now, aren't you? I hope so, because I'd love to hear how many you've got. So message me, will you? Email me. Or do they still call them blouses? Or are they called, I don't know. What are they called? I don't know. You like the one I got on today, though? I found that at the back of my wardrobe today when I counted them. Very nice, very nice. But Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Have you ever read Matthew 5, 6, and 7? What's called the Sermon on the Mount? Have you ever read what it says about prayer and about fasting and about giving and about relationships and about adultery? Have you read that? Do you know what it says? You've got the information? I wonder if we need to grow in knowledge. Jesus says this, Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who, what does it say? Who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. See, it does have a place, but it's a place to stand on and grow from. See, rocks are not hearts. Don't stay a rock. I mean, it's a great foundation, but it's something to grow from, not something to live by. Make sure you beat with the rhythm of God's grace. Make sure your heart pumps with his grace that then helps us turn information into knowledge. And just finally, just wrapping up today, I think there's a third thing that Peter says, and I think he says about growing in praise. The end of the text says, to him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. I think this is more than just a sign-off of his letter. I think this is something really important for us to know as well, because I think if we're going to grow in grace and grow in knowledge, we have to grow in praise as well. It's like the beginning and the outcome of that growth. To him, the God who made the heavens and the earth, to him who in his infinite compassion keeps his promises to us, to him who came down to earth as one of us so that he could lift us up to the heavens, to him who gave his life on the cross, my sin upon his shoulders, to him who burst out of the tomb alive, who conquered death so that I might live, to him be glory, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior, the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. To him be glory, both now and forever. When do you start to give God's glory, to honor him with your life and how you live it in the light of the teaching of Jesus? When do you start? Now. That's when you start. To him be glory now, in this moment, and for all the moments to come. So I offer this to you today, to grow in grace. And Jesus offers you grace today because he has more than enough for you to receive. If you know it, then grow in it. More of Jesus in your life, changing you, shaping you, all you need to reach the full potential of what he has planted in you in the first place, when you first believed. You see, Jesus healed people, he loved people, he touched people, he called people, but the reason Jesus came was to forgive people. That's grace. Do you remember we just had Christmas? Do you remember Christmas? What was Joseph invited to call Jesus? Jesus. Why? Because he will save people from their sins. That's why he came. That's grace. That's the starting point for any of us today. But put that grace to work, won't you? Don't just absorb more and more of it. Turn that grace into knowledge. Put it into practice. Do you want to grow in prayer in 2025? The only way you're going to do it is to put it into practice. To find a time, to find a place, to find people perhaps to pray with, and to grow in that. Do you want to grow in reading and understanding the Bible in 2025? Well, find time, find a place, get a good app, get a good book, read it. But don't just read it for information, practice it. What it tells you to do, do. Turn that information into knowledge, and grow in knowledge? Do you want to grow in community? Why not invite someone for a meal that you don't know very well? Meet them for a coffee. Join a small group. Start your own small group. Commit to meeting with one other person this year so that you can be mutually encouraging and mutually accountable as well. Do you want to grow in your witness this year to help others to know him on your front line? Well, get equipped as a disciple and we'll try and help you do that during this season. Do you want to grow in your worship? To grow in your praise? Well, take time to sing then. If you're a bad singer when nobody else is listening, I would encourage you. Learn to dance. Learn to dance. Dance as David did. Or not, it's up to you. Pick up an instrument that you used to play, but you've neglected now. And start practicing it and use it to praise God, to grow in your worship of him. Do you want to go and using your gifts, the gifts that God has given you to serve others in Jesus' name? Well, begin by asking someone you know and trust what they think you do well. It's a great place to start. What do I do well? And then lean into it more. Practice using it every day, the gifts God has given you. Start with one of those. Turn information about them into knowledge because of them and give God the glory both now and forever because his grace will be enough for you to enable that to happen. So I'm praying, and I ask you to join me in praying that 2025 will be a year when we all grow. Every one of us, the whole church, our children, our young people, we all grow. When we'll see lives transformed because of that growth. When we'll see people coming to know Jesus for the first time because we've grown. When we see the baptism pool used more often than it was last year because we're growing and God's grace is being seen in reality. Because our lives, because they're growing, because they've got life in them, are affecting the lives of the people we meet on our front lines every day. So let's grow in praise. And as we grow in praise, we encounter the one who gives us knowledge and grace. And then together, perhaps at the end of this year of 2025, we'll join Peter's last word, which says, Amen. So be it. So be it, God.